So we have some special guests who are participating in our sermon today, and this is our Relearning Community Group. This is the group of people that you as a congregation have sent to two weekends so far, and we'll be sending to two more learning weekends, that to experience some teaching and learning around what it means to be community, what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So their names aren't in the bulletin, so I'll introduce you. Why don't you wave when you say hear your name? Brenda Fisher, Joanne Brown, Lindsay Ecker, and Sandra Workington. So they'll be joining me for a portion of this message. So what caught my attention first about Relearning Community was a story. A story I read about in a church publication, the Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, MCEC 1, I think, called Sprout, came out a couple years ago, and it was a story of a person who had been involved in Relearning Community, and as a result had built a skating rink in her front yard so that her whole neighborhood could get involved, and her front yard became a gathering hub for children and youth and adults associated with them and her street, and real conversations were happening, real community. I want a piece of that, I said to myself, for me, for my church, the kind of thinking that gets somebody out on their street and getting to know their neighbors. When I came to North Church, I was grateful to discover that this congregation too had been exploring Relearning Community and willingly stepped up to lead this endeavor in this place. It's a learning journey, and growth comes slow. As the farmers here will hopefully corroborate for me, a lot happens underground before you get growth, much less to harvest. First, the soil is prepared. Hopefully, it's fertile soil. Then the seed is planted. There's time, there are the right conditions, and then there's growth. One way to think about Christian life is that we are the seeds being planted. We are the ones longing for growth. But there's no rushing through the growth process. We must pass through the seasons of rain and sunshine before we reach the harvest. And it does help to have a skilled farmer working towards growth. It does help to have good tools for growth. It helps to tend the weeds. Relearning Community perhaps provides tools for a group of people to invest a little extra time in learning ahead of the rest of us what it might mean to take this discipleship thing to the next level, to take it seriously. I mean, what if I did? What if we all did? What if we all took on this call of Jesus on our lives to follow him so seriously that it shows in our day-to-day life, that people would look at us and say, I want a piece of that. I want a little of what she's having or what he's having. And it turns out that what I'm having is a really big dose of trying to live out Jesus' way on purpose. And I think that most of us have not had much experience with really living into what discipleship means in our day and age. We may have grown up in a time when things are different, but culture is shifting. We no longer live in a world where everyone we know is Christian, where our world revolves around the church, and some of us have never lived in such a world. We call the time we live in post-Christendom. At one time, faithful discipleship meant going to church and raising our families in the church, being good church members. But it's starting to shift in meaning. Faithful discipleship is about something other, we think, maybe. Maybe something Christ-centered, not church-centered. It's about being the church in our world, not going to church so much. Not that I'm against going to church. But we don't need to remake an old world, a world that's passing, but we need to invest in the world and in the church that is coming. To make disciples in this context, we need to relearn what we thought we knew, to take fresh chances, and we need to invest in ourselves with our whole selves in living out God's mission for our neighborhoods, for our families, for our worlds, and not everything we try is going to work. So we have to be willing to invest in failures and flops. But we're going to keep trying. And we're going to keep planning for change, planning for growth, and asking Jesus to lead us that we may follow. So what we have this morning is a bit of an experiment. Instead of a traditional sermon by one person, you'll have five people. 5 voices sharing a bit about what the relearning community experience has been for us over the past year and what we've learned together. And as we begin, we want to pray for God's guidance. Lord Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to share our love for you. We want to live lives that look like they matter, like you matter. We want lives that look and smell and taste like you, because you are good news. Good news for us, good news for our neighbors, good news for our world. And we want to be good news too. As we share this morning, we pray that our neighbors and friends who are gathered today may catch a bit of what has caught us, a yearning to make our lives matter in this world, to make a difference, in short, to be your disciples in this world. And where our words fall short, may your Holy Spirit speak more clearly. Amen.
Relearning Community is a multi-year spiritual journey that is planned for us by our conference MCEC, and it is based on scripture. This brochure appeared in all of our mail slots in the fall of 2016, introducing this concept. It's not a program, it's not an event, it's not a fundraiser. The basic concept is to have all of us as ordinary people, regular followers of Jesus, to have us work at creating more deliberate conversations about Jesus in our daily routines with the goal of growing disciples for Christ. The scriptures are not new to any of us. However, the practice of relearning community is to connect with God's story in a new way, to find the words to tell our own stories of faith, and to share these stories openly with others. We want to follow Jesus and create a plan to incorporate what it means to be church in ever-changing times. Relearning Community invites us to live life together in a more centered walk with Jesus. The Bible has many passages that guide us to do just this. In Mark 16:15, Jesus clearly directs his followers, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone."
Charlene shared a little bit about how today is different than how life has been in the past. And perhaps we could say that 21st century people tend to live more fragmented, individualized, isolated, or self-focused lives. I think right away of the fact that Jason is away on a trip with my dad and some of our other family members. And, you know, in the old village idea, it wouldn't really feel like that much was different in my life, because there would be lots of people part of that village makeup, helping to pick up the pieces of that puzzle. But in this fragmented situation, it means that while I was supposed to be at church at 9:30, I got here at 9:50. The call in relearning community is to integrate and to live in community with others as much as possible, which I really love, because of the fact that it means that in all the ways that I am being Jesus and experiencing Jesus, I'm not having to do that by myself. I can do it with my children along and my friends and all of the people who are part of my community. So this came about with a man named Mike Breen, who is a pastor and author and a leading current day innovator building missional communities throughout Europe and North America. And he states, "If you build a church, you don't necessarily get disciples. But if you work at making disciples, you always get the church." Relearning a community, as we heard, extends the challenge to intentionally work at making disciples by building stronger relationships. So we start with our individual relationship with God, then we extend that to the immediate people around us, like Jesus had his 3 most precious disciples. Then continue to extend that again, where Jesus then had the rest of the 12, and then we continue to move that out into the world. Sometimes I wonder, are we a consumer church where people come, we line the pews, we listen passively to what the pastors and leaders have to say? Or are we going to be a missional church, a church and individuals where we engage in growing more leaders and more disciples, joining together by praying together, asking, seeking, and discerning God's guidance?
As a pastor, I'm grateful for an opportunity that Relearning Community provides to give us space for accountability in spiritual growth. For me, what's so significant is that Relearning Community has a track record of making visible and significant changes in how people think about faith in their everyday lives. And this is discipleship. And discipleship is basically Christian life. Followers of Jesus is who we are. And don't we want lives that look like Jesus somehow? I long for and dream of similar transformations in my own life and in the lives of this Relearning team, and celebrate each moment when the life comes on and when seeds of discipleship take root and start to sprout. Within Relearning Community, there's a recognition that growth and change takes time. And it starts first in the small and intimate places of our lives. I appreciate this perspective on discipleship, that following Jesus is not just a head thing, saying, I believe in Jesus, or just a heart thing, I love Jesus, but a whole life thing. Living our lives in such a way that it gives evidence to the fact that we believe in Jesus, that we love Jesus, and that we want to follow him. Relearning Community is rooted in Scripture and the learning process. And in the learning process, we learn new concepts that help us on this discipleship journey called life. It helps us to identify achievable and measurable objectives, to help us all move towards a common vision of discipleship through the Scriptures. Some of you may recall my sermon from early September, where I talked about sowing seeds of faith extravagantly and abundantly, trusting God to grow the harvest. God loves to plant seeds of faith or of discipleship in us. It's one of the visions of Relearning Community that as we each grow as disciples, we also sow seeds to grow other disciples. So you have this phrase, growing disciples who grow disciples who grow disciples. And as at this church, as North Church, we have a vision statement that we've been exploring earlier this fall, growing relationships in Christ. I think Relearning Community is an extension of that vision, growing relationships in Christ, growing disciples in Christ. Our teacher, so we pray that we have a cycle of extravagant and abundant growth, disciples who grow disciples who grow disciples.
In the introduction to Relearning Community, we learned that church communities are made up of many different people, and I think you'll probably find yourself somewhere in this list. On one end, we have the innovators or the dreamers who like to get new ideas and plans into the church, but they don't always know how to implement those plans. Similarly, we have the visionaries who may buy into these ideas a little later than the dreamers, but they're often able to put into place and execute plans to get these ideas in place. These two groups are often the people who want the newest things for the church. They may be the technology enthusiasts and often buy into new ideas earlier on than the majority of the church community. And then we have the pragmatists, or the early majority, who embrace the new ideas a little later on in the process, and they're usually supportive of leadership. We have the conservatives, who join in as the late majority because they do not want to appear too bold. And finally, we have the skeptics, who feel that change is unnecessary or will never work, so why bother? We are aware that these categories are fairly generic. You may fit into more than one. However, I think that we can each identify where we fit into what Mike Breen refers to as the chasm. When we are in the early stages of making a change within our church, the focus is often on the dreamers, the visionaries, and the pragmatists.
We attended our first Relearning Community session last November, about a year ago, in Cambridge. It was an incredibly jam-packed weekend, full of discussions, sessions, dialogue, music, worship. Friday night, we had sessions till 10 o'clock, full day Saturday until 8 p.m., and Sunday until late afternoon. So one might ask, why would one commit to such a full, comprehensive, hands-on weekend of learning and experience? We really wanted to learn more about building a discipling culture and multiplying missional leaders. As you've heard from the others in our group, we were keen to be part of this, not a program, not an initiative. It's really a life-changing experience. God has placed a desire on each of our hearts to learn and understand more. Our second weekend, our relearning weekend, was this past May. Again, full on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Exhausting, but exhilarating. This spring, we learned about part of a concept called fivefold ministry. And it's taken from Ephesians 4 that we read earlier, or Debbie read for us earlier this morning. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Straight from the Bible, Relearning Community has reclassified these, or classified these, as fivefold ministry. We spent time learning about the different classifications, discussing what defines the categories and how each of us fall into those categories. A church cannot survive if everyone were just a pastor or a teacher. Jesus made it clear that each type of person is called and valued to build and multiply missional disciples.
I think it's helpful to understand ourselves within a context of community using something like this fivefold ministry. And if you're interested in taking a quick little quiz to see where you fall or where you perhaps fall, definitely ask us, because we can lead you to do that. As we heard more about the fivefold ministry and studied the definitions, I found out I'm classed as an apostle and prophet, which those of you who know me are not surprised. My heart is most content as an innovator of ministry for the kingdom. I take very seriously my responsibility to push myself, my family, and our congregation into new territory, eager to discover and explore and to equip God's people to do God's work in an intentional way, building up the church.
And after answering the questionnaire, I learned that I am classified as an evangelist, an infectious communicator of the good news, recruiting others to join the cause. I'll admit the word evangelist scares me a bit, but based on the fact that my working career was sharing words via advertising and marketing, I do feel comfortable in communications. It's interesting how God has us all figured out and places us where He needs us to be.
So after taking the quiz, as Brenda mentioned, I was identified as a teacher, with shepherd or pastor being a close second. Teachers look for effective methods to explain, enlighten, and assist in engaging learning and discernment. Shepherds or pastors can identify needs, provide comfort, empathize with and encourage others. Being a teacher shepherd has held true in my career with the Ministry of Children, Community, and Social Services. Working with others in a team, educating and supporting communities and funding services for vulnerable children and adults in communities in Ontario. So how can I incorporate these traits in our midst at NLUMC and in our community? supporting our pastors and staff, and participating in a reinvigorated junior youth program, nurturing, protecting, and loving all God's people with empathy and encouragement. That's my hope.
Deeply rooted in Scripture, I am a prophet. I relish the fact of seeing, hearing, and speaking what God has shared with us through the Scriptures, and I'm inspired to be a visionary, to see the bigger picture of what might be happening and to create solutions, to proclaim God's love, and to cast a vision of how people can be drawn to discipleship. I guess preaching is a good place for me.
After completing the fivefold ministry survey, I found that there actually wasn't a wide range in my scores for all five. However, teacher did stand out as being the gift that comes more naturally to me. I guess I'm in the right profession. Teachers are comfortable modeling and teaching God's wisdom and truth. They often look to answer the question, are the people of God engaging Scripture in a way that leads to transformation? Well, I am very comfortable as a teacher. I do find that these areas that I just listed are things that I sometimes struggle with. So I look forward to exploring this role more deeply and challenging myself in the coming years.
So the view from here. Let me tell you what I see when I look out from here at all of you. I see you, some older, some younger, some on the left, some on the right. I see your smiles. I see some of your slumped and tired shoulders. I've heard some of your stories. I wonder about others. And sometimes I'm gifted with a glimpse of what God sees when God looks at you. God sees you. God, not just the outside you that you present to the world, the one that hopefully has it all together. But God sees all of you, your strengths and your weaknesses, your successes and your failures. And all of that comes into play when God calls you. And it turns out that when God sees all of us together, God sees a beautiful harmony, a unity, where all our different gifts and experiences and skills and yearnings come together in a beautiful whole. And it turns out that God calls us as we are. God knows the path we've been on, our joys and our sorrows, and still God calls us. And we have each been gifted. In Ephesians, Paul talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and you heard about that. And it's our invitation and our challenge to discover how each of us have been gifted and called in Christ. Our relearning community, we've started to claim a bit of that calling as significant to our identity, and you heard about that. We did this test to hear about our spiritual gifts. We just shared the results, and I confess it was kind of fun to discover that the five of us up here today each represent a different gifting. All five of those fivefold are represented in us five people. And that's the fact that this is the church. All of these gifts are represented in each row and in this pew. We are a microcosm of the whole church. So God spreads out the gifts widely in the whole church. And this is so that we will need each other. We are not whole without one another. So God calls you. These roles of pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, apostle, these are not set aside for the elite few. These are the gifts of the whole church. Maybe this is the mind shift we need, that you have these gifts. God calls you. And like us, God calls you with your own giftings. You too are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And you may not recognize this in yourself, and that's okay. We didn't recognize it in ourselves either. We're still learning what it might mean. But isn't it significant to remember and to imagine that God has gifted you with a gift that the church needs? You may be an apostolic-style innovator, a dreamer, wanting to be on the cutting edge, dreaming new ideas, trying new things, wanting that new thing to take root in all of us. Apostles are catalysts for change, and the church needs apostles to lead us all in growth and change. You may be a prophet with a heart for God's heart and a vision for God's vision. You may have a heart for understanding what God is saying to us at this time and place. You may be an evangelist, a storyteller of good news. You may be a pastor who loves the sheep and offers to care and nurture those who need it. You may be a teacher who clarifies truth and dispenses knowledge. And maybe you don't know, but I know this. God calls each of us and God equips each of us. And God has created and gifted the church in such a way that each of our gifts are needed and each of our gifts need the other gifts to be whole. And that's how unity happens. That's how community happens. We are learning to lean on the truth with Relearning Community that we cannot go through life alone. We're not called to life alone. We cannot be the church alone. It is as we each live out and express our gifts and callings together that we find the unity that God desires for us. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church in Ephesians, reminded them about their calling. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. In short, be disciples of Jesus whose faith is lived out in your whole life. And that's going to look like unity and diversity. He wrote the same thing to church in Corinth, more or less. He talked about the body of Christ being made up of many parts, and though the parts are many, they form one body. This is good news. This is good news for me, because as a paid pastor, I can't do it all. I can't be it all. Even as a pastoral team, we don't have all the gifts. I can't be an apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher. Sorry. But together, we are apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastors and teachers. So good news. So it is with Christ. So it is with you. I pray that we might discover that kind of growth here at North Church and at UMEI and in every place where each of us have been called to live in the light of God's love. The growth of relationship in Christ. Growth as disciples of Christ. Growing disciples who grow disciples who grow disciples. And for that call, we need all our gifts to flourish. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have called each of us with our unique strengths and weaknesses, skills and experiences. We give you thanks for the ways we are shaped in unique ways, that some of us have the gift of the right words to say at the right times, and some have the gift of a caring presence at a time of pain. Thank you that some of us are dreamers and imaginers and storytellers, and that some of us know how to untangle a complicated idea. Help us to see ourselves and each other as you see us. Lead us to discovering what our unique callings are within the church and how we can live from a place of gifting and calling to be light and life in the places where we live. We want to grow. We want to make a difference. We want to live like you. Lead us that we may follow you. Amen.
Let's stand.